Okay, so we've got this really fascinating collection of articles and research all about the recent LA wildfires. And it's heavy stuff. You know, of course, the human cost is always like the first thing you think about. But, you know, what about the animals caught in these infernos? What happens to them? Their stories often kind of get lost in the headlines.
It's true. We tend to focus on the human, side of things first, which is understandable, but the impact on wildlife is just, it's huge.
Yeah, and awfully overlooked.
Definitely.
Yeah, the sources you sent paint such a like vivid picture.
Yeah.
Imagine, right? You're a mountain lion, your whole territory is just engulfed in flames.
Yeah.
The familiar scents that, you know, are replaced by smoke, and the
Yeah.
landscape, you know, is just totally alien and dangerous.
Yeah.
Or, you know, picture a deer family and their usual escape routes are blocked by either fire or human development.
Yeah.
It's just chaos,
It's
right?
terrifying. Dr. Emily Carter, she's a wildlife biologist, and she studies the impact of wildfires, and she uses this phrase, chaos and survival, to describe it.
Chaos and survival, it's
It
so powerful.
is.
And it really makes you wonder, like, which animals are hit hardest by this? Is there any way to even like gauge that?
Well, Dr. Carter, she points out that certain species are particularly vulnerable. Like, for example, the California red-legged frog and the mountain yellow-legged frog. The red-legged frog, it's already endangered. And these fires are just like wiping out their very specific breeding habitat.
What makes their breeding habitat so vulnerable?
Well, they require very particular conditions, like still shallow water with plenty of vegetation. These fires, they not only consume that vegetation, but then all the ash and debris that wash into those pools after the fire, they can change the water chemistry, which can make it impossible for the eggs to survive.
It's just like a domino effect almost. The
Right.
fire just creates this chain reaction
Just.
that impacts these frogs long after the flames are even out.
Yeah.
What about the mountain yellow-legged frogs? What makes them so susceptible?
They kind of face a double threat, I guess you could say. They live in high elevation streams, which become extremely vulnerable after a fire. The loss of vegetation on the slopes around the stream leads to erosion. And then, like when it rains, all that loose soil washes into the streams and clogs them up with sediment.
So the water sources they depend on are basically just like suffocated.
Exactly. These delicate ecosystems are just completely disrupted. And we're not even talking about the larger mammals yet.
What about like bears, mountain lions, things like that? They can't exactly hide in a stream, right?
Right. That image of the mountain lion we were talking about really highlights the challenges these animals face. I mean, burns, smoke inhalation, and the immediate loss of habitat are just the beginning. Imagine the terror of like fleeing for your life, only to find yourself in this completely unfamiliar territory.
It's gonna be so disorienting.
Yeah.
But once the fire's out, though, I mean, things must start to improve, right?
Well, you'd think so, but unfortunately, it's not that simple.
Oh, no.
The challenge is actually amplifying the aftermath.
Oh, wow.
So the immediate threat of the fire might be gone, but now they're dealing with a landscape that's completely stripped bare of all the resources they need to survive. Food becomes scarce. Competition for what's left increases, and they're forced to venture into unfamiliar territory, which can lead to conflicts with other animals or even humans who are trying to rebuild.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
So even after the fire is extinguished, their struggle is far from over.
Absolutely. The loss of vegetation doesn't just impact their food supply, it also makes them more exposed to predators and the
So
elements.
they're essentially displaced and they have to start their lives over again in a way.
Exactly.
It paints a pretty bleak picture,
It
but
does.
I'm guessing there are people out there trying to make a difference.
There are, and their work is incredible. You included some information from Sari Jones, who's a wildlife rehabilitator, who has been working tirelessly to help these animals.
Yeah, let's hear about that. What's she seeing on the ground?
Well, she describes a wave of injured animals coming into her center. Birds with singed wings, squirrels with burned paws, even a bobcat with severe eye damage from the smoke.
I can't even begin to imagine the pain and fear.
It's truly devastating. But the work that Sarah and others like her are doing is a beacon of hope in all of this.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, calling in experts is always the best way to go when it comes to wildlife,
Yeah.
especially in a situation like this. But besides, you know, reporting injured animals,
Right.
is there anything else that, like, the average person can do to help?
Well, donating to organizations like the one Sarah works at is crucial.
Yeah.
These centers rely so heavily on public support to provide, you know, food, shelter, medical care to these animals.
Right.
Even a small donation can make a huge difference.
Yeah, I'll definitely be looking into that.
Yeah.
It's amazing how these deep dives, like, always reveal so many layers to a story.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in the immediate aftermath of a disaster like this.
Right.
But you've really highlighted, like, the ripple effects that continue long after the flames are out.
Yeah.
The landscape is forever changed.
It is.
So, like, what does that mean for the future of these animals?
Well, one of the things that really struck me was this concept of defensible space.
Okay.
Which several of the sources mentioned.
I'm not familiar with that. What does that mean exactly?
It's basically, it's a strategy for protecting homes and structures from wildfires.
Okay.
Essentially, it involves creating a buffer zone
mm-hmm.
around buildings.
Okay.
By clearing away flammable vegetation.
Right.
And using, like, fire-resistant landscaping materials.
So it's about reducing the risk of fire spreading to human structures.
Exactly.
But how does that relate to wildlife?
Well, creating defensible space around homes can actually benefit the surrounding ecosystem, too.
Yeah.
Because by reducing the intensity of the fire in those areas,
yeah.
you're also helping to protect the nearby wildlife habitat.
Oh,
cool. It's kind of a win-win situation.
So it's about being proactive and taking steps to mitigate the risks before a fire even starts.
Right.
What else can be done on that front?
Well, just being mindful of our own actions is crucial.
Yeah.
One of the sources pointed out that human carelessness is actually a major factor in wildfire ignition.
Really?
Yeah. Things like unattended campfires.
Oh, right.
Improperly discarded cigarettes.
Yeah.
Even sparks from machinery.
Yeah.
All of those can ignite dry vegetation.
It's easy to underestimate how quickly things can escalate, especially during those dry seasons.
It is. It's a good reminder to be extra vigilant.
Yeah, for sure.
And on a larger scale, we can support policies that promote responsible land management practices.
Okay.
And address the issue of climate change.
Right. Climate change was kind of like a recurring theme throughout these sources.
It was.
What's the connection there?
Well, one of the major factors that's driving these, like, increasingly intense and frequent wildfires
yeah.
is climate change.
Okay.
Hotter temperatures.
Right.
Drier conditions, prolonged droughts.
Yeah.
They all create the perfect storm for these devastating fires.
Right.
And then the fires themselves contribute to climate change.
Oh, wow.
By releasing massive amounts of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere.
So it's like this vicious cycle.
It is. It's this complex interplay of factors that's really exacerbating the problem.
It can feel overwhelming, like almost like there's nothing we can do as individuals.
I understand that feeling.
Yeah.
But it's important to remember that every little bit helps.
Okay.
Even making small changes in our daily lives
yeah.
can contribute to a larger solution.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Well, we can all be more conscious of our water usage.
Right.
Conserving water helps to prevent drought conditions.
Yeah, okay.
Which in turn reduces the risk of wildfires.
Makes sense.
And reducing our reliance on fossil fuels.
Yeah.
By opting for like public transport, biking, walking, carpooling.
Right.
Those all can help lower carbon emissions.
Okay.
Which is crucial in the fight against climate change.
Those are all things we can do regardless of where we live or how much money we have.
Exactly.
It's about being mindful and making choices that align with our values.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that our actions have consequences.
Yeah.
And that we have a collective responsibility to care for the planet and all its inhabitants.
You know, amidst all the devastation and heartbreaking stories, there was also this thread of hope that ran through these sources.
I noticed that too.
Yeah.
Despite the immense challenges they face.
Right.
These animals are incredibly resilient.
It's almost like nature has a way of bouncing back even from the most catastrophic events.
It's a powerful reminder that even in the darkest of times, there is always hope.
Yeah.
One of the sources talked about how some animals have actually developed remarkable adaptations for surviving wildfires.
Like what? Can you give us an example?
Well, some bird species are able to, like, sense approaching fires and fly to safety.
Wow.
They can detect these subtle changes in air pressure.
Okay.
And the smell of smoke long before the flames arrive.
That's fascinating.
It's incredible. It's like they have a sixth sense when it comes to fire.
Are there any other examples?
Yes, some plant species have evolved to thrive in the aftermath of a fire.
Wow.
Their seeds are actually designed to germinate only after exposure to intense heat.
Wow.
It's like a rebirth for the ecosystem.
Yeah.
A chance for new life to emerge from the ashes.
That's amazing. It seems counterintuitive,
Yeah.
but these fires actually play a vital role in some
They
ecosystems.
do. It's a natural cycle of destruction and renewal,
Right.
and it just highlights the interconnectedness of everything in nature.
This deep dive has really been an emotional roller coaster.
It has.
From the devastation and heartbreak to the incredible resilience and hope we see in nature,
Yeah.
it's been an eye-opening experience for sure.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive,
We have.
from the immediate impact of the fires on wildlife and their habitats,
Right.
to the long-term challenges they face, the role of climate change,
Yeah.
the importance of prevention and responsible land management.
We've explored the incredible adaptations that allow some species to survive and even thrive in the aftermath of these events.
We have.
But perhaps the most important takeaway is the power of collective action.
Absolutely. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the scale of these problems,
It is.
but it's crucial to remember that every action we take, no matter how small, can contribute to a solution.
Yeah, it feels like we've only just scratched the surface,
I know, right?
but you've given us so much to think about already.
Yeah.
As we're wrapping up this deep dive, what are some like key takeaways for our listeners when it comes to, making a difference?
Well, I mean, as we've talked about, there are so many layers to this issue,
Yeah.
from the immediate needs of those injured animals
Right.
to the broader challenges of like habitat restoration, climate change, all of that.
Right.
But even small actions, they can really create a ripple effect.
So, okay, let's break it down. Where should someone even start if they want to help?
Supporting organizations that are dedicated to wildlife conservation is a great first step.
All right.
Like places like Sarah's Wildlife Rehabilitation Center,
Yeah.
you're doing such incredible work,
Yeah.
but they really rely on donations
Right.
and volunteers.
Yeah.
Even a small contribution can make a huge difference in their ability to, provide care for injured animals.
Can their organizations focused on like habitat restoration and fire prevention too,
Right,
right?
absolutely.
Yeah.
Those groups, they play such a critical role in like mitigating those long-term impacts of wildfires
Right.
and protecting, both wildlife and human communities.
Yeah.
Their work is just, it's essential.
So we can donate our time or money.
Yeah.
What about taking action on like a policy level?
That's a great point. Our voices really do matter.
Yeah.
We can contact our elected officials,
Right.
advocate for policies that, address climate change, promote those sustainable land management practices, support wildlife conservation efforts, all of that.
Yeah, it's easy to feel like, our individual actions won't make a difference when it comes to those like global issues like
Right.
climate change. But it sounds like every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps,
Oh.
exactly. And don't underestimate the power of like just making changes in your daily life.
Right.
Simple things, conserving water,
Right.
reducing your reliance on those fossil fuels, choosing sustainable products.
Yeah.
All of that can collectively contribute to a larger solution.
So just like being mindful of our impact on the environment, even in those seemingly small ways, can actually play a role in protecting wildlife from wildfires.
Exactly. It's all interconnected.
It really is.
The fate of wildlife is inextricably linked to our own actions and choices.
Wow.
By taking steps to protect the environment, we're ultimately protecting ourselves too.
This deep dive has really opened my eyes to like the complexity of this issue
It
and the
was
interconnectedness of it all.
fascinating.
What's one piece of advice you would give our listeners to help wildlife during future wildfires?
Be aware, be prepared, and be an advocate.
Okay.
Stay informed about, wildfire risks in your area.
Right.
Have a plan in place for yourself and your pets.
Yeah.
Speak up for policies that protect wildlife and their habitats.
Be aware, be prepared, and be an advocate. That's a great call to action.
Thanks.
I think we can all take that to heart.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
It's been great.
It's been a truly eye-opening and, dare I say, inspiring journey.
Inspiring is a good word for it.
To everyone listening, we hope you found this deep dive informative and empowering.
We do.
Remember, even small actions can have a big impact.
Yeah, they can.
Thanks for tuning in.